Come on, God is good. Is God working in your life? Yeah, He is. He is. Glory to God. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. God has a plan for our lives, but we get in the way a lot. Yeah. I said we get in the way a lot. I wanted to bring a different message this morning, and when God gave me this one, I said, well, you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And He said, yes, I'm sure. And I said, but I don't want to. And then He had me read in Ezekiel where He said, listen, if the prophet or the watchman doesn't tell the people that the enemy is coming, then the blood is on the prophet. I said, well, okay, then it's back on them. I'm not doing that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, it says this, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's better to be humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about pride today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's like this one church decided it was going to give out an award for humility. And it was just so awesome because there was this one guy in the church that just, I mean, if you spelled humility, his picture was right next to it. So one Sunday they get up and they decide, listen, we're just going to give it a ceremony. We're going to give it to him. They call him up to the front and they said, George, here's the award for humility. We just wanted to present that to you. And they handed it to him and he took it and they grabbed it back. Well, you don't qualify. Because he took the award. Anyway, it doesn't always work, but I try. Glory to God. But we need to understand that, watch this, pride, there's one letter in the middle, and it's I. Pride is when we're full of I. Now I'm going to talk about, because is all pride wrong? Not necessarily. Watch this, because, for instance, and I'll just give this, we've been through a lot in the last 18 months or 2 years. The COVID thing, we've lost, you know, lost the building, and yet I'm so proud of all of you because we're still here. But I give the glory, watch this, I'm proud of you, but I give the glory to God. Right? See, it's all about when pride is bad is when it's filtered through I. And we need to understand that pride, when I'm concentrating, focused on me, it's going to bring destruction. Let me read you a definition of pride and then we'll comment some more. Pride is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction from one's achievement or of those closely associated with them, like a team, conscious of one's self-dignity. Now, pride can be good or bad. It depends on where the ultimate credit is attributed. Right? For instance, if you know, I'm just the best ping pong player in the world and people come up and they tell me all, you know, it's okay for me to say thank you, but at the end of the day, I've got to understand that the ability that I have been given is because God gave me the talent, gave me the ability. So pride, when pride first came in, it was when the enemy said, I'm going to lift myself above God, right? I'm going to establish, and then when he came to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, look, God's just pulling your leg. You're not surely going to die. He wants you to be just like him or above him, seeing good and evil. Pride is where destruction comes in. Pride. I don't want to have anything to do with pride. Now even this, there are some interesting statements that Jesus made, and they're not directly related to pride, but you can put them in there. For instance, he said, if you want to find yourself, you have to lose yourself. Right? He said, if you're going to follow me, then what you have to do is deny yourself. I don't want to do that. But you see, you're the problem. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We're the problem. But if we can understand that God's got us, that God loves us, that God has a purpose for us. God's purpose for Adam and Eve was to be in the garden for eternity. But the minute that they put I above Him, they lost His purpose. So for us even, it's like, Lord, help deliver me from this pride, because I don't want to be involved with it. I don't want it. I don't, you know. And pride, first of all, pride, and my definition of pride is when I am the focus. When the focus, it's all about me. Now, when you think about a proud person, you're thinking about an arrogant person that's, you know, always putting their chest out and puffing. But I'm telling you that somebody who will not speak to somebody else because they're too shy, that's pride. Why? Because they're thinking, the reason that they're shy is because what are they going to think about me? Right? If I say that to them, how is it going to look? And really the focus is back on them. So pride is nothing more than self-focus, where you're the object of the thing that you're thinking about. And God said, listen, pride brings destruction. How many want to be in the midst of destruction today? Just come on, come on, come on. So even our lives, even our choices sometimes are direct result of pride, and we don't even understand it or don't even know it. But watch this. Pride and confidence are not necessarily the same thing. Go quickly to, and we're just going to look at one verse, although I could go through the whole thing, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel, it's right before 2 Samuel, chapter 17. And so the story is that David's dad said, listen, the older boys, those that are more mature, those that are of fighting age, I've sent them out to battle. I want you to go check it out. I want to take supplies. And so David went out there, went with the cheese and the bread and gave it all away. And then the whole Goliath thing came up. And then David says, what are you sitting here for? He's telling all these men who've been at the battle for months, why are you still sitting here? That man is defiling the name of Almighty God. Why are you still sitting here? And look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28. So his brothers replied to him this way. He said, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was against and aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence in your heart, for you've come down here to see this battle. I know your pride. What he was saying was that, look at David, you are a man, a boy, who's full of himself. And David was not full of himself, but he was full of God. So he had confidence in what God had promised him. See, it's not pride when God is in the top position and you're confident that He's going to use you. See, that's not pride. That's confidence in who He is. You see, I am who I am because of who He is. I can declare to the devil, to the world, to you, that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. But we can't get it twisted. You know how you put inflection on certain words in a sentence and it brings a whole different meaning? Let me just... I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Or, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Do you hear the difference? Right? It's not about me, it's about Him. But I'm in Him. I have Him. He loves me. My confidence, though, is not on how great I am, but it's in the great I am. Come on. Come on. It's not pride when you're directing all the attention to Him. Come on, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord, not look what I have done, but look what the Lord has done. We don't want to be in pride. Let's look at a couple of other things in Proverbs that talk about pride. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Glory to God. And really the definition of pride, and it comes down to this. Pride is nothing more than selfishness. 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 Selfness. When you're thinking more of yourself than anybody else. Right? Selfishness. Glory to God. We teach our kids not to be selfish. But yet, on the other hand, we're selfish. See, you can't deny yourself and be selfish. I said, you can't deny yourself and be selfish. There's a term that, and maybe you've heard this term, maybe you've been around this term, but it's kind of like, I have rights, you know. My rights have been violated. Now, there's some rights that I understand, and I'm not talking necessarily about this, but for myself, I don't have any rights. I don't have the right to be right. Because I'm in Him. Right? I'm in Him. Listen, I don't have the right to be offended. Because I'm in Him. I don't have the right to my own opinion because I'm in Him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's like when I've got to have my way. Well, you can't have yours and His, so yours is out. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. No. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it His way. But if you don't want to do it His way, you can do it your way. But when you're doing it your way, pride is at the center of that. And pride comes before destruction. How come everything bad happens to me? Well, it could just be pride. 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. You ever read the parables about, and Jesus is talking. Listen, if you're going to a banquet and don't rush up to the front and take a seat. It's better if you sit in the back and then the ruler of the banquet comes to you and says, come on up to the front, right? Because you sat in the back humbly and the one who can exalt you is going to put you in front. The Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. Right? So I need to be at the place where God is the one who gives me the accolades and not myself. Come on. And there's no shame in Him. I said there's no shame in Him. Go to 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. 21:24 says this, a proud and a haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Anytime you put pride in front of something that you're doing, and your name is at the front, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. It will not lead you to what you ultimately want. Because ultimately, what you want, and everybody wants, is love. And they want peace. And they want joy. and all those fruits that we talked about in the fruits of the Spirit, that's what we want. But if you're in pride, you'll never get there. Thank you again for your enthusiasm. I just have to trust God with me. Let me say that again. I have to trust God with me. And if I know God has my back, then why is your opinion important to me? Now, I want you to like me, but if you don't, and I'm doing what God tells me to do, then that's really on you, it's not on me. And if I make it about me so that I please you, then I've left the thought of pleasing Him. And I choose to please Him. 29, Proverbs, the 29th proverb. And there's more in here. If you just go through Proverbs and just look at everything that pride brings, you won't want to have anything to do with it. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. I've got to tell you my ping pong story. And you can turn over to Proverbs 13. But I was at a men's retreat. Now I'm not saying this pridefully. but I was playing ping, or I was at a men's retreat, and during our free time they had a ping pong table. And there was this one fellow that was up there, and he was beating everybody. And he was just, you know, and he was all about it, right? Talking about how good he was and how nobody can, you know. And it wasn't like pool at the tavern where you put your quarter up for the next thing, but you put your name in for the next player. And I hadn't played ping pong in a long time, probably 15, 20 years at that point. But I said, well, I put my name on the table. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you a fact that I played ping pong when I was, you know, in my early 20s every night. My buddies and I did. We had a table and we played every night. It was our thing. So I hadn't swung a paddle in all that time, but I got up and I beat him. I hadn't swung, but I beat him like, you know, by about 5 or 6 points. And then later he comes up, he goes, he put his name back on the table, said, I've been watching you. I know I can beat you now. I can beat you now. See, he was arrogant. He was puffed up. Well, I'd gotten warmed up by that point. So I skunked him. He didn't score a point. But watch this. His arrogance brought him low. Isn't about me, but his arrogance brought him low. And we need to come, whenever you make it about yourself, and watch this, there are people with self-esteem issues that are in the toilet, but they've got to make themselves something so they say things and they try to do things that's out of their league. Right? But I've got to look important. I've got to feel important. I've got to be one that somebody looks up to. And you see, you don't understand that that's pride and it's going to bring you low. But if you'll release yourself to the will of God, and if you'll begin to understand that He has a purpose and a plan for you, and everything that's in you, in Acts it says, in Him we live, we move, we have our being. God, You've got me. I don't have to try to make myself something that You've already made me to be. See? Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 10. By pride cometh nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride comes nothing but strife. When you're selfish, when you're only thinking about yourself and how everything affects you, it's going to bring strife. I refuse to have strife in my house. I refuse it. If you come to my house, and I've had many people over at my house, and they always say this, it's so peaceful here. But that's on purpose. I said, that's on purpose. But I've been in other houses where you could cut strife with a knife. You walk in the door and you go, woo! Right? You just come and you go, wow. He's got his head bowed, Adrian, but he's right up here. Your wife is here. But watch this. It's so good. Listen. I don't want strife. I'm going to lead you to a verse, and this verse is amazing to me. Go to James chapter 3. Remember that pride, when I'm focused mainly on me, then it brings strife. Strife is not good. The book of James in the third chapter. And look at verse 14, James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Come on. For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where there is envy and self-seeking exists, that's pride, confusion and every evil thing are there. Every evil thing are there. So I'm just going to name a couple of things. And don't take this personally, and I don't mean it, but this is envy here. This is strife. This is bitterness. This is, you know, and on and on. So when I allow strife to come in, when I allow bitterness to be in my heart, I'm just saying, come on with me. Wherever I go, you guys, come on. You guys, just come on. So wherever I am, come on, they're just following. Wherever I am, just come on. So in my life, everywhere I go, all of these things are around me. All of these things are with me. Why? Not because I necessarily have said that you guys just follow me, but because of where my heart is, because I'm thinking mainly of myself, here they come. So if I come over here, they're with me. If I go to work, they're with me. If I go to the hospital, they're with me. If I go anywhere, they're following me. And not just those, every evil thing. Come on. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. But I could have got, you know, yeah. I could have got lust up here. I could have got poverty up here. I could have got sickness up here. I could have got jealousy up here. I could, come on, all of the things, shame, I could have got them up here too. Right? Why? Because I'm letting strife in, where I'm allowing bitterness to come in. I can't be bitter and better at the same time. And really the only reason that I can be bitter is because I'm only thinking about how that situation affected me. But in my meditating on that, I'm inviting everything else to come with me. It's saying this, it's saying, come on in, devil. Anything you want. I'm open game. Here I am. And again, it can come as arrogance, but it can also come in as, self-centeredness. And, come on. And self-pity are the same thing. I refuse both of them. Even though my life isn't always sunshine and roses. Funny, I had a conversation. I probably shouldn't bring this up. I had a conversation yesterday with a man who I've known for a long time, but he's been pastoring for a year and a half. And he said this. He said, if this has done one thing for me, I will never, ever, ever put judgment on a pastor again. Some of those things that I said before that I thought, well, he should do this or he should do that, or why isn't that happening? He said, I'll never, ever, ever, ever do that enough. Because why? He couldn't put himself in my shoes before he was in them. And so, but if he's thinking about how I'm affecting him and why isn't this and why isn't that, it's like he's gotten self-centered with his life's attitude, and it's bringing with him bitterness, envy, strife. How many want the will of God really for your life? Then pride has to go. Self-centeredness has to go because it brings in every evil thing. I was listening to another pastor, this was years ago, but he said in his church, he absolutely forbids strife. Forbids it. And he's got a larger church, he's got lots of staff. If he hears of strife in any fashion, he has that person come into his office. And they either get it straightened out or they're gone. His compassion level for strife is zilch. Why? Because where there is strife, there's every evil work. Right? Even in our homes, it's like, well, you know, they're just kids and they're just fighting. They're just sibling rivalry. Knock it off. Don't allow it to be there, because if you allow it to be there, you're allowing a lot of things to come in that don't belong in your house. And you're in charge of it. Don't let your kids be self-centered. Don't spoil your kids and make the world all around them, because it's not for their good, it's for their destruction. And God loves us the same way. He doesn't want us self-centered because He wants what's best for us. Come on, He wants your goodness. Let me read that again and just think about this. Again, He said in verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Is there confusion in your life? Are you confused? Are you in turmoil over something? It may not just be yours, but it could be that pride is at the core of why it's always following you around. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But watch this, there's an answer. There's an answer. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. Look down at the next verse, verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers." Come on. God, I trust you with me. How many can put up with something for a little while? You know, all of us can put up with something for a little while. Well, you're only here for a short time. I said, you're only here for a short time. If you're suffering through, going through something, God, I'm not even going to think about me in this particular place. I'm going to turn myself over to you. Marvin said it so well this morning. I don't know if you caught it. But you need to praise God in the midst of what you're going through. Why? Because you're getting your senses off of you and get them to the one who can help you. Right? If your prayers are always, oh God, this is wrong. I have compassion on you, but I can't help you. I have compassion on you, but why? Because if I rescue you from this, unless I get you to change your focus, then there's going to be this. And then there's going to be this. And then there's going to be this. Why? Because all your friends are with you. All your friends are with you. But if I can get you to turn yourself away from yourself for just a few minutes, maybe an hour. Some of you might take a couple of days. But you'll just begin to worship God in the midst of what you're going through. I remember the day when I thought my world was over and I was driving in my car. And I said, "Why, God? Yet I will praise Your name. Yet I will honor You. Even if the worst thing that the enemy is putting in my head would happen to me, God, I will not defame Your name. I will praise You. I will worship You. In the pit, God, I will extol Your name." Come on. Because I don't want my buddies to follow me into the palace or the pit. You remember Joseph? If anybody had a right to complain, it was that man. And it seemed like if he was going, "Well, God, I know You're with me, but things aren't adding up here. You said I was going to do this, and now I'm in the pit. And my brothers loved me so much, they sold me to these people that took me. Now I'm a slave in a house. But then the wife came against me, and now, Lord, I'm in the pit in the prison again." Watch this. But he got his eyes off of, through that whole process, he got his eyes off of, "Look at me, I got this robe," to, "I'm going to serve the one who calls me son." Come on. And God lifted him up. God lifted him up. Chapter 4. And I don't have time to go through all of this, but look, it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Where do they come? Where does strife in your home come from? Watch this before I get further into this. How many figured out that you can't do anything to change your spouse? In fact, listen, I'll just give you a clue. You can't do anything to change, especially the attitude of someone else. But you can do a lot to change you. Right, you can do something about you. So get your focus off of them and put your focus on Him and say, "God, here's my heart. Show me. Change me." Because if there's wars or fights, they're coming from my desire for pleasure that war within my members. You lust and do not have, and murder and covet and cannot obtain, fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. But when you ask amiss. Why? Because you're asking for you and not for me. So you know your prayers are supposed to be centered on what God's will is and not what yours is. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Make me more like You. Come on. Just think if God had our pride. Look at that Bruce down there is not doing what I want him to do. Kick him to the curb. But because God's eyes were on you and not him, He sent Jesus to die for me. But the minute that I receive Him as my Lord and Savior, my life goal is to be like Him, to where I put my eyes on Him and not on me. Let's go down a few verses. Verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Submit to God. What does that mean? Okay, God, Your ways are my ways now. If You said not to be selfish, I'm not going to be selfish. If You said not to be self-centered, I'm not going to. If You said not to focus on myself, I'm no longer going to focus on myself. If You said to yield and listen, I'm not talking about being run over. I mean, there's a place where you stand up for yourself, but the ultimate guide for that is what does the Word say? But I'm going to submit to the Word in all things. Because when I don't submit to the Word, all my friends right over here, they get to come with me. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But all my friends, I'm just inviting them to come with me. And so therefore, the devil has his way with me. But when I submit to God and say, God, I'm yours and I trust you, me with you. And so, Lord, I'm going to thank you that you got me at your back. Those guys have to stay there. And I can just go wherever I want. And the enemy cannot get around my resistance. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Is this a big deal? Huge. 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 Now watch. Glory to God. Verse 6 said that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's go on. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And He doesn't mind whatever you do. If you sin a little bit, it's okay because His mercy is good. And you know He's all right with whatever. He's all right with your attitudes. If you want to be contrary to the Word of God, it's no, absolutely not. What does it say? Is this the Word of God or not? You have to answer that for yourself. I already have for me. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't have your mind on God and you at the same time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. What's that say? I thought we were supposed to have the joy of the Lord. Yes, you are, but you're not supposed to have necessarily the joy of you. Oh, but I enjoy that so much. Well, it's killing you. Stop it. Your bitterness is killing you. Quit it. Come on, your lust is killing you. Stop it. Well, but it's hard. Well, lament, mourn, groan, whatever you have to do, do it. I want to be free from this addiction. Well, do whatever it takes to get free. Yeah, but it's so hard. Well, shut up. Get up. Quit being a whiny baby and do it. Right? I mean, I love you, but at the same time, I can't help you if I allow you to stay self-centered and feeling like it's all about you being a victim. You might have been victimized, but you're not a victim anymore because He's put a victor's crown on top of you. I can't sympathize with your victimization and get you to be in victory. I have to get you to the place where you submit yourself to Him, put yourself in His hands. And if it takes you weeping and mourning and say, oh God, this is hard, but bless God, I'm going to go with you no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs me, no matter what the price is. Lord, I'm with you and I'm not against you. Come on, because I want to get you to the place where you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And when He lifts you up, you're lifted up. But that looks like, Lord, everything that I have, everything that I've done, anything of eternal significance that I've ever accomplished, you get the glory for, you get the honor for, because I'm doing everything for you, by you, through you, and you are Lord of my life. That's what Jesus is Lord looks like. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you aren't listening, but thank you. Thank you. Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? Well, I said a sinner's prayer once. Is Jesus your Lord? Then your focus needs to be on Him and not on you. Hallelujah. There's freedom in what I'm saying today. And if you'll just talk to God about it a little bit and say, Lord, I got a great revelation from the Lord years ago. This is really heavy. We are all selfish. We have degrees of selfishness, but we're all in our natural state selfish. Lord, deliver me from me and yield to your will and your plan in my life. Amen? Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, I know pride is a stench in your nostrils. And Lord, absolutely it stinks when I'm around it too. But Lord, I know that that stench has come from me many times. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I see today, Lord, I see in what your word has said today that it's pride that's kept me bound. It's pride that's kept me from your graces. It's pride that's kept me from seeing myself as you see me. Pride, Lord, is nothing more than seeing your word and choosing something differently. I am who you say I am. I can have what you say I can have. I can do what you want me to do. But it's because of you. You get all the glory and all the praise. Father, I just pray over every person that's listening or watching that, Father, you'll speak to their hearts. And Lord, that this message will penetrate them, they'll meditate on it, and God, it will cause change in their hearts. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never asked Jesus to come in and be Lord of your life, or if you did at one time but you know you're not living for that, just turn it around. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I acknowledge your goodness and your grace over me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And God, to my best of my ability, with your help and only your help, will I walk my days with you in Jesus' name. If you did that, your life will change forever right now. Right now. Right now. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about anything this morning, turn it over to Him and allow Him to change you from the inside out. I could have the worship team come up. We'll close the service like we normally do with a worship song. But if you're here, you need prayer for anything this morning, come on up. And myself or some other folks will pray with you. God is here. He's in the delivering business. He's in the healing business. Come on. We have seen in just in the last few weeks, we've seen God heal people's hearts. We've seen Him heal their bodies. We've seen Him touch people in Jesus' name. We've seen them. Watch. We've watched this. What the devil meant for evil, God has turned around for good. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. He's the same God. He's a delivering God. And if we pray for you, God's going to touch you. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. But let's